Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org.
Amen. 9:30. I didn't know you had that in you. That was really good. I kind of like don't want to preach, and I just wanted to worship the rest of the service. That was powerful. Holy guacamole. Okay. Welcome to those of you on live stream who are joining us today. We are glad that you're a part of our church community, and welcome to those of you in the room. It's September. How did that happen? What the? What is going on? You guys, I'm glad that it's September. It means a lot of new things might be coming in your life. Maybe you're a student, you're going back to school. Maybe you're sending kids off to school. You have sports or small groups starting up. And the same thing is true here at Salem Alliance. We are in our kickoff season for a lot of our ministries. And as we head into this season, we wanted to make you aware of two very important things, okay? The first thing is our Vision 360 weekend, okay? Also known as our annual meeting. So this is an important weekend for those of you who are partners here at Salem Alliance. This is your opportunity to vote to affirm our elder council and our governing board. Each service will look the same, so don't feel like you have to change your schedule, your Sunday schedule at all to attend our annual meeting, okay? If you are a member, we will be emailing out those ballots to you. If you have any questions about that, you can just call us. We'd be happy to answer those. Second thing that I want you to be aware of is our life groups, okay? Life groups are starting up over the next week or so. We're encouraging you to join a life group. We know that this place is pretty big, and so if you have a desire to make it feel a little bit smaller, really be known here, deepen your walk with Christ as well as others, life groups is a great way to do that, okay? And by the way, if you're new here, life groups is just the way that we say Bible studies and community groups. That's basically what they are. We encourage you today, if you're interested, to talk to our pastors of life groups, Sam and Sarah. Sarah's out in the lobby. Sam will be out at Gather on the Green. They have these little information cards if you're interested. Seriously, life groups are a great way to get connected around this place and really make this church community feel like family. Life groups, where friends become family. I actually think that's Olive Garden, but that's okay. Okay? We're just gonna make it their tagline now, okay? Hey, speaking of families, I want you to imagine something with me right now. I want you to imagine a family portrait, or in other words, a family photo. Kids in the room, you know what I'm talking about. You know when you have to put on the best clothes you own, right? You don't get to run, play, eat, breathe in them. Your mom yells at you for like a half an hour, smile, smile, smile. And then that picture goes on a Christmas card, right? That's the family picture I want you to imagine right now. You guys got your family photo in your mind? Here's the deal. Who said no? Okay, we'll give you more time. Okay, here's the deal. Some of you in the room, you have a keeping up with the Joneses kind of mentality. And when I say family photo, it's not your family photo, it's that family. That their Christmas card looks like a J. Crew catalog, right? Matching outfits, not a hair out of place. Like, they're just perfect. And you get it and you're like, wow. I wish I could be like them, right? Maybe that's the family photo that you imagine. Or maybe you grew up in the same era that I did. If you were born in like 20 anything, you might not have this core memory of JCPenney portraits, right? Where you like dress in your Sunday best, you go to a department store, the photographer's like rolling out backgrounds, and then they pose you in a way that you're like, this doesn't feel natural, but okay, we'll do it. Here we go. Right, JCPenney portraits. Man, what a thing. I miss it. I might actually take my family back. Let's do it. Why not? Now, here's the deal. When someone says, Katie, I want you to imagine a family photo, there is one very specific picture that comes to mind for me. I don't know why it's this photo, but it's this one. And I just have so many questions. The first question is, why, okay? Like, why so many monkeys? Where do you get overalls for monkeys? How do you get the monkeys into the overalls, right? Like, I just am so confused a little bit. Anyways, family gathers feels like a good time to talk about some family photos. And I am realizing right now that I have yet to introduce myself to you. And I would like to do that by showing you a family photo. I don't know if this is a good idea to show it after those or not, but it's okay. We'll see how we measure up. Hey, if I've never met you before, my name is Katie Lander. I've been on staff here for just over 9 years. And when I was invited to come and speak again to you, honestly, I got so excited. I consider this just a huge honor. And so I really appreciate you wanting to spend the morning with me, especially Labor Day weekend. What a gift. Okay, back to introductions. Here we go. On this side, we have my husband, Jack, and then me, my son, Callahan. He's 3 and a half. My daughter, Corey, she's now 1 and a half. She's being held by my mom, Allison, my dad, Sam, and then we have my sister, Courtney, and her fiance, Sam. Did you catch that? We're gonna have two Sams in the family. It's very confusing, okay? We like to call them First Samuel and Second Samuel. It's a little church joke for you there, okay? No. Also, in the spirit of JCPenney portraits, I just love Callahan's hand on my mom's shoulder. I don't know why he did that, but it's just amazing, okay? Oh, God bless three-year-olds. They really are the best, okay? Now, like I said, obviously, family photos are an easy thing to talk about in the month of family gathers, but I promise there is a point to all of this, okay? When we take photos, it's to capture a moment, to leave a little legacy in our minds of times that we don't want to forget. For some people in the room, we take pictures of our kids just to remember how tiny they were at one time, right? For some of us, we take selfies when we've accomplished the goal that we set, right? We get to show pictures at the top of a mountain or crossing a finish line or holding that trophy that we set our sights on. We share stories and reels on social medias of weekends we spent with our best friends or birthdays that we got to celebrate with our nieces and nephews. These are the memories that we save up and hold onto, like small little tokens of the legacy we hope to leave in this world, right? We hope these are the stories that people reference when they talk about us. We hope these are the photos that come to mind after we're gone. This month of family gathers, we've been in the series I Spy, where we've had the privilege to listen to the stories of other people's legacies. We've inherited these stories as lessons to learn from, and most importantly, we've heard about how God has moved through each and every story. And today, we have a story that focuses on all of the above. It's a story of family. It's a story of protecting an inheritance. And it's a story about leaving a legacy. And you might not have heard this story, okay? It's found towards the beginning of the Bible, but it has a big impact on us today. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Numbers 27, verse 1. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you can pull out that Pew Bible. It should be on page 138 or somewhere around there, okay? It's right there at the beginning of the Bible. Okay, Numbers 27, verse 1. Here we go. This is what it says. One day, a petition was presented by the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Their father, Zelophehad, was a descendant of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The women stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the tribal leaders, and the entire community at the entrance of the tabernacle. Our father died in the wilderness, they said. He was not among Korah's followers who rebelled against the Lord. He died because of his own sin, but he had no sons. Why should the name of our father disappear from his clan just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord replied to Moses, "The claim of the daughters of Zelophehad is legitimate. You must give them a grant of land along with their father's relatives. Assign them the property that would have been given to their father." and give the following instructions to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no son, then give his inheritance to his daughters. Stop there. Okay, our story today, small. It's only 8 verses, right? And yet we spy 2 very massive things taking place. One, we spy a story of an inheritance. Inheritance is something that is waiting, right? It's a gift that is ready to be given. The second thing that we spy is a legacy. A legacy is what's remembered, right? The picture of the impact that we leave in this world. Today, what we're going to be talking about is how our legacy has the potential to invite others into their inheritance. Now, before we get to that, I want to recognize that this is a really small story that maybe you haven't heard before. So I want to give you some context of what took place, because this is a small story, but right before it is a big story that most of us would recognize, okay? Right before the 5 daughters go to Moses, they are standing at the entrance of the promised land. Now, if we rewind a little bit, we know that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and God frees them from that, and they head out into the world wilderness following Moses, who's following God, okay? And they are headed towards the promised land. Now, on their way, they experience a lot of different things, including a rebellion from this guy named Korah. Okay, Korah had all these men follow him as he turned his back on the plans of the Lord. Now, at the end of that story, all those people die, okay? But if they have living relatives, those relatives were told they would not get land in the promised land. So when Zelophehad's daughters say that Zelophehad was not a follower of Korah, that's important because it means that he still has that inheritance, that land waiting for him, right? So his family should be receiving a piece of this land. And so we pick up our story. We see Moses and these leaders dividing up this land amongst the family. And it's finally here, this day of inheritance that they've been waiting for. However, there's a problem. All the land is going to the men. Zelophehad only had daughters. So they're left without this inheritance. That means that they would be destitute, which is a big word for not having a home or money or clothes or food. This would be a really scary life for these girls to live. Not to mention, they're young, right? They're probably teenagers. We know this because they're not yet married. They have no way to inherit land. So they're really young. They're really scared of what their future could look like. However, the most important part of this story is that when God promised the Israelites this land, he called it the land where he would dwell. It was going to be the dwelling place of the Lord. So if your family owns land, you are known as a family who dwells with the Lord. It's really easy to think that this story is just about land, but that's not actually what it's about. It's about a spiritual inheritance. See, these girls not only had a desire to have land that they could build a home on, but they wanted to dwell with the Lord. They wanted future generations of their family to be known as people who dwelled with the Lord. So they boldly step in front of this God who they've heard time and time again about, and they present their claim. And the beautiful thing is that God cares. God cares about their inheritance. Why would God care about 5 teenage girls and their desire to own land? The reality is that they're his. Although Zelophehad's daughters had this earthly father, they also have this heavenly father that they've heard about time and time again. And they know that He provides. They have heard story after story from generations before them about how he provides for his people. And so when they take their request to Moses and the other leaders, they recognize that their request is very bold. It goes against the cultural norms of the day, right? But it's their only option. And they're banking on the fact, they're hoping that this God who shows up and provides for his people will show up and provide for them. Again, they know that their request is big, but they also have heard stories about this God between escaping Egypt and entering the promised land. They've heard about a God who split seas, sent manna from heaven, brought water out of rocks, built pillars of fire. And they have a simple request. It's bold, but they also know they follow a bold God. These girls understand that as children of God, they are provided for, protected by, and watched over by a never-failing king. And the cool part of this story is that we have that same inheritance. That exact same power that these girls got to experience as they enter into the promised land, we have that backing us today. Can you really just sit here and hear that and not want to do something about it? I mean, come on, right? This is a creative God who has worked miracles time and time again. He frees people from slavery. He's creative enough to put coins in the mouth of fish and heal people from leprosy. And he sent a savior for you. And yet some of us are not motivated to get up and do anything about it. These girls were. They saw a problem in front of them. They knew they had to face it, and they turned to the one who can do anything. I think sometimes in our life we forget that. We forget that we have a God, an almighty, powerful God that's backing us up. And we just want to sit and wait for our inheritance to arrive and not do anything about it until then. You guys, this inheritance is massive. What we're receiving from God is huge. David knew it. In Psalm 16, David says this, "Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land." What a wonderful inheritance. "I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." Why does this matter? Why do we even talk about this inheritance of heaven that is waiting for us? Because that's our promised land. That's what we have waiting. Why should we care, right? The reality is that this God who cares deeply for these five teenage girls, this God who forgives David time and time again, right? He's the same God that will stand up for us in any circumstance. See, in Ephesians 1, it says this, "You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance." This means that any promise God has made to provide or protect or care for his children is true for us too. That as children of God, we too get that same level of care from our Heavenly Father. When we see him show up for these five girls, he's saying, "I'll show up for you too." When he protects all that he has given David, he says, "I'll protect you too," right? God cares for us at that level. He cares about you. He cares about your inheritance. Our inheritance is heaven, and he wants to see you there. He has prepared a seat in eternity for you because he cares. Everything that he has done in Scripture, he can also do for us as well. That's the God who hears your cries. That's the God who's encouraging you. That's the God who walks every single peak and valley of life with you. The daughters of Zelophehad had received their inheritance, but their story didn't stop there. God also cares about what we do in the meantime. He also cares about our legacy. Yes, an inheritance is waiting, but there's also a legacy that we want to be remembered. our legacy has the potential to invite others into their inheritance. What do I mean by that? Our legacy has the potential to invite others into their inheritance. When we look back at this story in Numbers 27, something massive happens right after the girls receive their inheritance. See, in verse 8, the Lord says this, "And give the following instruction to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no son, then give his inheritance to his daughters." You guys, this is huge. One request made by five teenage girls, and inheritance laws are changed forever. Inheritance laws. Do you realize how important that is? Like, people have fought over this for generations. Jacob and Esau, remember them, right? Things get dramatic when it comes to inheritance laws. And just like that, God changes not only these girls' future, but the future of generations to come. The legacy builds. These girls are noticed for their desire just to dwell with the Lord, and they're given this amazing gift to dwell with him. They also are recognized by the people around them. See, when we fast forward in scripture, we actually see that three different cities were named after the daughters of Zelophehad. People were moved by the stories of these girls. They recognized the faith that they had, right? They leave an lasting impact on generations to come, inspiring others in their faithfulness and desire to dwell with the Lord. Their legacy invited others into their inheritance of dwelling with the Lord. Our legacy has that same potential. Honestly, when I think about this idea of faithfulness and devotion, I'm reminded of a story of my mom. Now, I introduced you earlier to my parents, Sam and Allison. Growing up, my dad was a pastor. And so I think it's easy for people to assume that everything I know about the Bible, everything I know about God, is based on the things that I've gleaned from him. And that's true, okay? I don't want to knock the guy. I want to give him some credit where credit's due. I've learned a lot from my dad over the years. In fact, he helped me message prep for this today. But the person I learned the most about faith from is my mom. See, when I think about pictures that I have ingrained in my memory, there's one that comes to mind time and time again. Pretty much every morning when I would wake up as a kid, I would come downstairs and there my mom would be, right? She had this like very 80s, very cutesy, very, you know, red ribbed house coat that she would wear all the time. Gosh, I love that thing. She'd be sitting at our dining room table, cup of coffee, Bible open. Sometimes she would be working through like a Bible study. Maybe it was from her Bible study with her friends. And other times she was just reading scripture and journaling. But every single morning I would see this. And I know to you it might seem small, like, okay, your mom did daily devotionals. But when you see that every day, that starts to sink deep down into your memory and into your soul. See, every day she would be there, red-ribbed house coat, cup of coffee, Bible open. When my mom decided to go back to school to get her master's in teaching, she had two small kids at home. She's working full-time, and now she has school. She's busier than ever. There she was. Red-ribbed house coat, cup of coffee, Bible open. When she prayed and prayed and prayed for a dream job that was never offered, there she was, red-ribbed house coat, cup of coffee, Bible open. When my sister was in the hospital for over a month and we were waiting on a diagnosis and a care plan, there she was, red-ribbed house coat, cup of coffee, Bible open. That's faith. That will sink deep into your soul to witness that every day. She had two young girls in her house who watched her devotion and faithfulness through every peak and every valley of life. I aspire to be that faithful. I also aspire to own a red-ribbed house coat, but I haven't found the right one yet, okay? Now, the beauty of this simple devotion of my mom is that she was not doing it for recognition. Right?
She wasn't doing this to have books written about her, cities named after her. In fact, she's going to come to the 11 o'clock and she's probably going to be embarrassed that I told this story, okay? But she was doing this because she wanted to be where the Lord dwells. She simply wanted to live life with this God who cared for her. And in the process, she silently influenced both my sister and I with this devotion. We stepped into our own relationships with the Lord. And because of her influence in my life, I now have the desire to show the same devotion to my two kids. The legacy is building. Our legacy has potential to invite others into their inheritance. So here's my question for you today. What legacy are you building? Honestly, you know what your inheritance is. You know that heaven is waiting for you because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Are you sharing that with others? You know where you will dwell. You know that you're on this path of discipleship with God. Are you inviting others to join you on that path? You know, when I read stories like this and I feel this undercurrent of provision and legacy, there's a lot of really big things that get laid down on my heart, right? These things that break our hearts but also break the hearts of God. Like when I think about my legacy, I love the idea of thinking, man, I'm going to be someone who makes a difference for people who experience special needs. I want to support and advocate single moms who are the unsung heroes of our society, right? I want to speak love and value into the lives of teenagers because they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today, and they need to know how important they are in the eyes of our God. Those are the things that break my heart, and I know that they break the heart of God as well, but those are also very big things. Those are things that take a lot of courage and gusto to stand up for. We're invited into this life with God, to dwell with him. And sometimes all it takes is a red-ribbed house coat and a cup of coffee and a Bible open to remind you of who God is, the power that he has in your life, and the fact that you hold that invitation for others. So, what legacy are you building? And are you building that legacy for your name or for God's? Because I know that when it comes to this idea of us making a difference, sometimes the waters can get muddied. We want our names to be the ones that are recognized. We want it to be our efforts that are seen. And yet what we're called to is simply direct people back to God. The more time that you spend with God, the greater your focus will be on him and his influence in your life. What does your legacy look like? I know what picture I want people to have of my legacy. I know the descriptive words that I want people to use when I'm gone, okay? Is it gonna be JCPenney perfect? No, not at all, okay? Is it gonna be mountaintop, trophy-holding, awe-inspiring? Probably not. Faithful? I really hope so. My deepest hope is that my legacy and the efforts that I make in this lifetime potentially invite others into their inheritance. My hope is that I can encourage at least one person to step into a life of dwelling with Jesus. It's simple. It's not going to have books written about it. There will be no cities named after me once I'm gone. But for one person, that could make a world of difference. And to be honest with you, that's what I spy in this whole series we've been in for the month of August. We have heard week after week about who God is, the ways that he creatively works through our stories, and the invitation that we have to be more like him. So here's my challenge for you today. I have three options for you, okay? Option number one, maybe you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart yet. That is your inheritance that is waiting. Jesus made a sacrifice for you so that way you can spend eternity in heaven with this God who cares for us. I want you to know today that God is very proud to have you in his family photo, that he cares for you and he claims you. You might have noticed that we have six roses on the platform, okay, of people who made this decision to dwell with Jesus. Can we give it up for the six? Zadie, Ezra, Ophelia, Paisley, Jameson, Kylie, they all made a bold move to step into their inheritance, into this promise of heaven and eternity with Jesus. And God now dwells in their hearts, which is amazing. You're invited to follow in their footsteps today. And you don't have to waste any time. Seriously, come up during the last worship song if you would like, okay? There will be roars of celebration if that's your choice. See, the reality is that God burdened the hearts of these five daughters, and they knew they wanted to dwell with him. And they took action. So you're invited to follow in their footsteps today. You might already have Jesus in your heart and you're thinking, okay, what's next for me? My encouragement to you would be to build the legacy for Jesus. Let's think about the ways that God is burdening our hearts. What step do you need to take? Do you need to sign up to volunteer for the cause that you believe in? Do you need to sign up for a discipleship role here at church? Right? Do you need to have a conversation with a friend or a family member that you've been putting off for a long time? Those are all great things. And again, require a little bit of boldness to do. Another way that you can start building your legacy for Jesus would be simply to sit down, spend your daily devotional time with God, with your cup of coffee and Bible open. You might not be ready for either of those steps, and that's totally fine. That's okay. My encouragement to you today would be to keep spying. Continue to look to Scripture to find this creative God and the character that he holds throughout all of these stories in Scripture. Simply sit down with your cup of coffee, open up your Bible, and dwell with God in a way that you haven't in a long time. I would love to pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the gift of Scripture. I'm grateful that in the moments that we feel your distance, that we feel you're far away, that we can't really seek out your presence in our life, that we have a tangible place that we can go to dwell in your presence. God, I pray today that whatever peak or valley of life we are in, that you would draw us back to your word, draw us back to your character, and remind us of the peace and the power and the presence that you have in our lives. God, I also just pray that any hint of selfishness or desire to build up our own name would just be erased. That as we recenter our focus back on you in our lives, that it would be you that shines through us. That people would get to experience you, your love, and your care through our words and our actions. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.